Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. All right. Whoever's in the booth, I'm not loud enough. So turn something up. Thank you. Now I'm loud enough, I think. I don't want to have to exert myself. I want to talk at a very low, even, calm level. Matthew 6, let's stand, please. Last Sunday morning, we looked at this text. It is the Lord's Prayer for His whom? His disciples. Not to be quoted, though it's nothing wrong with memorizing, and I think probably you'd be very wise to memorize and meditate on it, but it's given for a pattern. A model, a map. It, of course, begins with Him, and three prayer requests are about His name, His kingdom, His will, and then it continues with us, and it deals with, of course, our daily needs, forgiveness, and lead us not into temptation. So it deals, everybody look up here, it deals real simple, folks. The life you live is not a fantasy. The life you live is lived in three parts: the past, the present, and the future. And may I say this, I have been preaching on the subject of forgiveness since the first year here, only to have people not know how to forgive and disobey God. You cannot exist in this culture without people offending you and hurting you. Holding on to hurt is what pagans do. So in the Lord's Prayer, this is the reason we make such a big issue of it. It helps you deal with, give us this day our daily bread, today, yes, the present. It helps us deal with the past and forgive us our debts, trespasses, as in Luke, as we forgive our debtors. It helps us deal with the future and lead us, and let me say this, that applies to old people too and their dumb choices. It's not just young people's dumb choices. Unless you think the future is safe, the Bible assumes the future is very dangerous, and you actually need God's leadership and guidance so you don't become a fool at your age, whatever your age is. So the Lord's Prayer begins with Him, continues with, and ends with Him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I'm going to start this morning. I think I will go through this line by line. I'm going to start with a question this morning. How do we address God? And why? Who cares? Maybe I want to call God the old man upstairs. You comfortable with that? By the way, when someone says, I believe in God, the old man upstairs, the one thing you know for sure, they're not a believer. No believer would ever say foolishness like that. Matthew 6. We're going to read it all, but I'm going to focus on how we address God, and I'm going to secondarily ask, why is this significant? After this manner, or thusly, in this way, therefore, because of the dangers of prayer laid down in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's the therefore, pray ye. Then he tells us how, in general, it doesn't mean every single time you pray, you have to quote these words. But in general, you pray, Our Father. So you pray to the Father, which art in heaven. We'll explain every word of that pretty much in the sermon this morning. Of course, the first prayer request that we actually make is, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In modern English, we would say on earth, but we wouldn't say on heaven. Now, that'll make you think. Prepositions are weird things. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to address the question, how do we address God? Why? This is a very simple message, but I hope because it's very profound, because it speaks to heart issues of the believer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you that we can come to you, the very nature of salvation, for by him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We can come to you. We can share our heart, our pain, our stress, but we can also share our blessings, and we can give thanks and offer praise. We can get beyond ourselves and start focusing on you and us. Father, this morning, may we learn and maybe relearn this beautiful way that Jesus teaches us to address you. Bless, I ask, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In 2015 or 2016, somewhere in there, probably 15, I was going to have lunch with a young lady and the school's father. I didn't know him. I didn't know her that well. I had heard that he had been in the military, but I didn't know much about what that meant. I just heard at a distance. I knew that at least I did not think, and I do not think he was a Christian then or now, but I wanted to at least get to know him and talk to him. So I met Caitlin Smith's father at a very nice place to eat called Tina's Cafe. I like to go there because they have bread, and olive oil, and cheese, Parmesan cheese. Oh, anyhow, we went there, we bought our food, and I needed to ask the obvious question that might not be obvious to you. You need to learn how to address someone. Now, you can address people in many ways. You know, people address me in many ways. I call my good son Dave back here old man. He calls me much older man. That's one way we can address each other. And Nicole, I did not know that old man's turning 40. I have a walker at home just for you, Dave. Now, friend, how do you address Caitlin Smith's dad? Now, I'm sure he'd been asked this question before because he had a real good spiel. So somehow in the conversation, I ask him, what do you prefer that I call you? Or how do you want to be addressed? And again, he had rehearsed this and done this many times. But he said to me, and I will not repeat everything, he said to me something like this, and I didn't write it down because I might have missed one line. He said, well, you can call me Ray. You can call me Marine. You can call me, and he, two or three things, and one or two of them would not be proper to say in church. He says, you can call me General Smith. He says, I earned that. He says, you cannot call me Mr. Smith. That's what they call my dad, and I'm not my dad, so don't call me Mr. Smith. Now, friends, you might think that's funny, and it is what it is. But how does one address God? And does it make a difference? Well, friend, I believe the Lord's Prayer gives us very clearly. Let me read what I wrote, because I'll have some people still going to do their own thing, no matter what the Scripture says. Matthew 6:9 is very well known. It answers how do we address God. But it specifically answers how we address God according to Jesus. What did Jesus teach us in when he addressed, how do we address God? Jesus actually expects us, in general, to address God in this way. This is not magic. It's not, you know, a mantra. It's not a trick. You say his name over and over and over and over, and somehow that does something for you. He's simply, Jesus is telling us how we address God. And how do we do so? Look in your Bibles, Matthew 6, verse 9. I'm going to break this down into three ideas, and all three ideas are very much resonant in the text and in the Bible. First of all, number one, we pray to the Father. Why? Remember, I'm going to answer what we do and why we do it. We pray to the Father. Why? Because of the new birth. You see, in the new birth, God becomes what? Say it. He becomes what? Exactly. So we pray to the Father because of the new birth. So minimum, our language minimally is going to focus on calling or addressing God as Father. Tuesday, we drove to Central Illinois, Springfield. We met my sister and her husband, my older sister. We met a cousin and her husband. And my little sister had picked my mother up. Actually, Rita had the older sister and given them to Shirley, the younger sister. And my mother was staying at my sister's from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then went back to the nursing home or the assisted living place yesterday. She basically went AWOL for a week. And you say, what does that mean? Well, when she goes back, she has to go back in quarantine. And, of course, she was already in, so nothing has changed. Maybe 1% or 2%. But we were with my mother, had a great time. It was nice seeing my mom. I got to buy her onion rings, which she's always happy. Wednesday, we drove from my younger sister's house to Cahokia Mounds, which is a Native American place down in southern Illinois. If you have not been there, I can only encourage you to go. You know, Cahokia is, are you ready? The largest Native American city north of Mexico. So when you go to Mesa Verde and you see those little dwellings that have 100 people, Cahokia had anywhere between 15 to 40,000, the largest city in North America, in Cahokia. We had a great time, except, of course, my wife didn't want to go up on top of the one mound, so she prayed, and it rained the whole time we were there. But I tricked her, and my sister had umbrellas, so we went anyhow. Well, Thursday, we went over to my sister's. Jenny went earlier, and my sister Rita, and then I drove over, and we had good time looking at pictures and talking and laughing. And Friday, we went to my Aunt Mary's, and we had a good time. And I want to say this. I call her Mom. Now, why do I call her Mom? Because she gave birth to this big, ugly fella. And I wasn't as big then, but I was ugly then. And I had a big head then. And if you don't believe it, Amy, I'm going to pick on Amy later, but I'll do it twice. She posted a picture of me with that big, ugly head, the biggest head known to mankind. I call her Mom. Other people call her Mom. Pachungay calls her Mom. My mother loves Pachungay. I don't understand it, but she just thinks she's special. She never can remember her name, probably because I've called you 40 different names. But she always wants to say, you know that girl, I can't remember her name, but I like her. She likes Judah too. Now, Cliffy, not as much, but she likes Judah. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, would you please? Friend, I'm being funny, but I'm not trying to be real funny. There's something so wonderful here. Why do I call my mother Mom? Because she gave birth to me. Friend, we don't address God as some distant being off in the distant galaxy someplace, or as some unknown God. We pray to the Father. Why? Because of the new birth. John chapter 1 and verse 11, please. This is, of course, the introduction to the gospel, but notice the beautiful. He came into his own. Technically, his own there means his own people. And the first one means his own place, like his own world. And his own people received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. This is not a natural birth. This is not the naturally occurring, you share the same blood, nor of the will of flesh. You don't make yourself born again somehow by willing yourself into being God's child, nor of the will of man. No one can put pressure on you. The new birth is that great miracle where it says it, but you are born of God. It's something God does. Friend, hear me. We pray to the Father. Why? Not because we're quoting words, but because we've been born again into his family. And the moment you're born into his family, he now stands in a relationship to you of father and children, father and child. He gives you the right. He gives you the privilege when you come to Christ, trust Christ, receive Christ, leave your sins behind and come to Christ, whatever the language. You are then born again. It's not a natural birth, born of blood. It's not, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to quit getting drunk, I'm going to quit gambling. No, it's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of self. How does the text say it? Verse 12 says, and I just lost it. Not of the will of the flesh, thank you, my wife. Not of the will of the flesh, and it's not of the will of man. Someone else doesn't make you a Christian. You become a Christian because you are born again. God gives you the new birth. You are born into his family. Now, turn your Bibles also, 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Everyone look at me now. I don't want to start an argument, nor do I want to be offensive to anybody. I want to be factual. If you're a Christian and you talk to people about the Lord, you're going to have people say this repeatedly. I believe in God. And you know what many Christians do? They leave it right there. Oh, he believes in God. She believes in God. Do you realize that is not Christianity? Do you realize that? Actually, what they're really doing is saying this. Would you leave me alone and let me get back to what I'm doing? No, look at me. No Christian would ever say, well, I believe in God. Because God is not some being someplace. He's not the old man upstairs. My friend, Jesus teaches us to address the Father as Father. Why? Because by the means of the new birth, we're born again into his family, and we are now a child of God. It's no longer God is over there, and I'm afraid of what he's going to do, and I'm afraid of death, and I'm afraid of everything. Oh, no, 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 no. We're born into his family. God is my Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And this might just be referring in some ways to the natural birth. Remember, if you're born into this world, naturally you're going to die. You're going to be corruptible. You're going to decay. But you're born again of something incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, in all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friend, I look around this room this morning. There's probably half a dozen people I'm not sure about. I don't know your hearts. But coming to me and saying, I believe in God, I go to church, doesn't mean much. Because that would be like me looking at my mother and saying, hey, woman, that's unthinkable. You say, why? She's my mother. She's my mom. She's the one that birthed me. She's the one that reared me. She's the one that took care of me. My friend, we address the Father according to Jesus, and we call him Father. Why? Because of the new birth, he now stands in that relationship with us. He is the Father of us. He is our Father. And my friend, it doesn't get more precious than that. We don't know God as a distant God. We know God as Father. I don't know what you do when you put your head on the pillow. Are you afraid? Do you fear? Do you wonder what's going to happen? Are you afraid of everything that happens? What if Trump gets elected? What if Biden gets elected? My Father will still be the same Father. Yours? By the way, friend, you can't protect yourself by going, that won't really do you much good. How do you walk out into the world? I walk out into the world because there was a day. I wish I could say I earned it somehow, but I didn't. I wish I could say I did something, but I have nothing to offer. But the God of heaven saved me, reached out, called me into himself, forgave my sins, made me his child. And my friend, today, if you're here, don't play around with this God talk. No, friend. By coming to Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. He died in your place. He died in a way to forgive your sins and to open the way to the Father. And by receiving him, trusting him, calling upon him, whatever language the Bible uses, it uses lots of language. We are born of God. It's not a physical birth. It's not I'm going to do better. It's not people are helping me do better. It's God makes us new creations in Christ. My friend, we pray to the Father. Why? Because of the new birth. He's my Father. Can't imagine seeing my mother and calling her something other than mom. I do call her things other than mom occasionally. You say, Pastor, what else do you call your mother? You want to know? Sometimes when I'm being snotty, I call her on the phone, I say, Mother dear, and her response is, yes. She's snotty too. But friends, from the heart, it's always mom. From the heart. Let's do something else. Look at Mark chapter 14, would you please? Mark 14. There's something bizarre in the Bible. We're familiar with it, so we don't recognize how bizarre it is. Mark 14:35, everybody find it? We not only call God Father in the New Testament, we do something bizarre. We can move beyond calling God Father. It's still the same word, but it's strange if you recognize. Can I ask a question before we go any further? Anybody in here speak Hebrew? Anybody in here speak Aramaic? Any of you even know what Aramaic and Hebrew are? Do you know what's weird? Jesus taught us to do something. And it's because he did it. And do you realize 2,000 years later, in a language that the exact language is no longer spoken, the exact language, the similar one is, he taught us to call God Father in another language. And we still know that word. You say, why do we do it? Because he did it. Mark 14:35. He, meaning Jesus, went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, what did he say? And what else did he say? Now, folks, that's like saying Father, Father, because Abba, A-B in Hebrew, Abraham means father. This is the Aramaic form, and there's a lot of debate about what the last B-A means. I won't get into the debate. I think it just means father. You have father in Aramaic, which is very closely related to Av in Hebrew. In Hebrew, you would say Avi if you were saying my father. But he says Abba, Abba, and he also says pater, the Greek word. Look in your Bibles to Romans 8, please. Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. Now, you'll need to hold your hand here because I'm going to come back to this in the second point. We're just going to look at the word, the language. Do you realize how strange it is to speak another language that's 2,000 years old and you know the word? Why do you know the word? You know the word only because Jesus himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, addressed the Father. Pater is Greek, but he addressed him with the Aramaic term. The author put both words there. It does the same in this text. Or the next text, Romans 8:15. But you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we, believers, cry, Abba, Father. So we not only call him Father, we can call him, if we prefer, Abba, not as a trick, not as a gimmick, but we're using the very word that Jesus would have used in his heart language, which would have been Aramaic. He probably spoke, well, we know he could read Hebrew, he could obviously speak Greek, he lived in a Greek area, and he spoke Aramaic, but he addressed God in that heart language, Abba. Wow. Galatians 4, please. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. This is a little different in this text. We'll read the whole text when we come back to it in the next point. But notice in verse 6, Paul says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts crying. Meaning now it's not just us crying, it is the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father. Now, friend, what's this prayer about? How do you address God? General Smith, how do you want to be addressed? Well, you can call me Ray. You can call me Marine. He gave me a couple other names. One of them I know wasn't good. He says, you may not call me Mr. Smith. That's how my dad was called. You can call me General Smith. I earned that. Jesus says, how do we address the Father? We address him as Father. Why? Wait a minute. We haven't even looked at it. Jesus is not addressed as Father in the Old Testament. He's called Father, but he's not addressed as such. This is something that comes from the Lord Jesus. He pulls us aside. Now, I want to say this to everyone. God is very good, kind, loving, generous, and giving to every single person on earth. This morning when you breathed air, people that hate God breathe the same air. We are blessed in 1,000 ways. But only those who have been born again can call him Father, or if we prefer, Abba. In fact, we are compelled to call him Father. It is something that's, it's like we can't do something else. Sometimes I hear people say stuff like, ah, the old man upstairs, and I'm like, or even saying, I believe in God, I recognize that's language at a distance. God has not saved that person. They don't stand in a relationship of father and child. They stand in a relationship of a distant God and a creation. My friend, because of the new birth, we stand in an intimate relationship, like I stand with my mom and with my dad before. Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13, please. I'm not going to go back to the text because we'll be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How do we pray? How do we address God? How should we address God? Jesus says, after this manner, therefore pray. He didn't just say Father. By the way, friend, look at me. I'm not going to demonstrate this from the Bible. This is your life. You find this out in the New Testament.
many times God was just called Father. That's fine. I don't think there's magic. This isn't manipulating God through, in the name of Jesus. See, that's a game pagans play with God. So calling God Father is wonderful, beautiful, and sufficient at times. But I think Jesus adds to this, and normally we want to address God in a more full way. So how do we do it? Well, we pray to the Father because of the new birth. Number two, we pray to our Father. Say it with me. We pray to because of adoption. How many in this room are natural descendants of God? How many? Zero. Look at me, friend. Every one of us can pray to the Father as our Father because we are all adopted. Did you know that? Let me say it straight. I don't want there to be any question. If you're blonde-haired and blue-eyed in this room, you have no more rights on God than a person that's of African descent. You don't have one iota difference. Every person is adopted into this family. And tragically, some churches get the hint that Jesus was black for black people, white for white. What does that mean? My friend, we become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we trust Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. Contrary to nature, all of us are adopted. So whatever your background, whatever you look like, whatever you talk like, God is not going, wow, I never heard of people from there before. Where did they come from? Judah's still thinking that about Cliffy. Dumaguete. Should have never visited Dumaguete. God is thinking the same. I should have never gone to Dumaguete. If I hadn't have been, no, of course, that's ridiculous. Our Father adopts people and calls people out of every language group, tribal group, people group, every type of people. He adopts them into his family. So we don't normally address God just, let me say it this way. Do you ever call him my Father? Is that legitimate? The answer is yes. But be careful with the my, because my excluding our, he's really our Father. He's adopted all of us. Romans 8, starting in verse 13. Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You know the person that talks about Jesus while living after the flesh? Well, they're a dead person dying. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14 then, of course, explains verse 13. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, friend, the Spirit of God leads us to put to death the old man. Then he even explains more. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, friend, we get into this, our Father. Yes, Father's fine. Even at times, my Father, I get that. But in general, it's our Father because we have been adopted into this family. Verse 16, the Spirit, and this would be better in modern English, himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. You mean we're not only, folks, we're not only adopted, but we're adopted fully. We are all heirs of the living God, our Father, and joint heirs with his Son. We have everything. I'll pull over and say something. I learned it from my dad, though he never told me one word. I do not even know, my wife and I have talked, I don't know if my dad did it intentionally. He might have done it just from personality. But I noticed later in life, my dad would look at a family and he would always look for the kid that was the outcast. And whoever the kid that was the outcast would be his favorite child. In the funeral of my father, I said it publicly. Because one of my family members has always been, because one of her sisters has a mouth that's a motor,
and she's real person, and everybody thinks she's wonderful. All she ever does is talk about the one daughter is just ignored. Well, everybody knew my dad's favorite was her, the ignored daughter. By the way, they had three kids. The son talks about himself incessantly too. Drives me insane. Do you realize when you look at a family that has adopted children, one of the things I do is I try to ascertain, is the adopted child treated like the other children? And the answer, what is the answer normally? No. And the adopted child is not stupid. Here's what's interesting. Are you all listening? All of you are adopted, and so am I. It's an adoption of people from all over the world. And by the way, why do we call him our father? Because we've all been adopted into this family. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, would you please? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. We pray to the Father because of the new birth. We're born into his family. We're born again into his family. And my friend, if you're not yet born again into his family, you're by nature going to have fear and feel distance and feel awkwardness. But the moment you come to Christ, the moment he saves you from your sins, the moment that you experience his love and mercy and kindness found in the cross where he died in your place, the moment you experience what he will do for you, then he's your father. And my friend, at that same moment, you're adopted into his family. But you're not adopted. And friends, this is racism. I'm going to say a racist phrase. You're not adopted as a redheaded stepchild. And some of you don't know what that even means, do you? That was the worst thing you could say to a person where I'm from. Sorry, Nicole, I love you. I think you have red hair, don't you? You got to understand, I don't really get red hair much more than other colors. All I know is if you called somebody a redheaded stepchild, that means they were the worst of the worst. Do you realize God doesn't have any? Everybody is joint heirs with Christ. Amen? Everybody's adopted. We all are inheriting. We all get all that God has. We're not going to go to heaven and everybody, you know those, hear me, those God-hating little songs that we used to sing, I have a mansion just over the hilltop. You know, you're getting a two-room outhouse, I'm getting a mansion. We all inherit in heaven, friend. We all inherit all that Christ has. Well, let's look at Galatians. I love this passage. This is one of the greatest theological texts in all the scripture that talks about God. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the times was come, God sent forth his son, made or born of a woman, made or born under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law. And my friend, whether you're under the Old Testament law or just under the curse of the law, you cannot redeem yourself. You can't change yourself. You can't help yourself. But he came to redeem you, to buy you, to pay a price for you, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And friend, in the Roman world, ladies, sorry, in the Roman world, daughters didn't inherit. Only sons did. So in the biblical world, using that same language, you don't become a male. But we all inherit as if we're sons. We're all adopted into this family. So when you pray, and you pray for me, myself, and I, do you understand how much of an abomination that is to the living God? When God's thinking, do you think you're special? All of God's people have been adopted. They're all from all over the place, and they've been adopted into this family. Well, let's continue reading. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. My daughter was her usual bad self this week. On Thursday, my wife and my older sister went over to my little sister's house where Mom was. I was at Rita's house doing some work. They went over early and looked at pictures. And my mother had pictures, and my wife had the audacity to take a photo of one of those pictures. And she sent that picture to Amy. And then Amy put it on. In something to the effect of that somehow Jesse and I bear some resemblance as children. And I can tell all of you have seen that photo. I'm just being real clear here, folks. We do not look alike. He's much better looking than I looked at that age. He also doesn't have the dumb look on his face with the mouth hanging open. Mom said I was probably hungry is the reason my mouth was open. But we do bear some resemblance. We both have the same kind of eyes. We both have blue eyes. He's small and I was small. What did they say, Amy? He's in the 98th percentile of height, 98th percentile of weight. I'm in the 198th percentile of weight. Please look at me, friend. Are you hearing me? Look at me. Here's what you don't know. In the family of God, we don't all look alike. Can I have an amen? By choice. God didn't say, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to save a certain group of people. They all have to have, you know, the dumb pictures that used to be in Bibles of Jesus with blue eyes? I'm pretty sure I've met a lot of Jewish people from the Middle East with blue eyes. Haven't you? First of all, I don't care what Jesus looked like. I could care less, but I'm guessing he looked Jewish. What do you think? My friend, he didn't choose a certain group of people with certain characteristics. You can look at a bunch of Christians and you say, by the way, if you look at me, you look at Jesse, but what you don't know, if you look at my grandma, Custer, which was an Adcock, I got a picture of her. Amy, have you seen that one that's real old when she's young with a hat? Her eyes look identical to mine. We bear a very strong family resemblance. But in this room, we don't bear that resemblance, do we? Why? Why? Because we're what? Oh, we're adopted. We're all adopted. So we are weird. None of us look the same. Some of us eat rice. Some of us eat potatoes.
Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, would you please? Revelation chapter 5. When I saw that picture of me with my brother and my sister, my little sister wasn't born yet, and I looked at that picture and I must have been under a year old, I will say this to you honestly, with the exception of the eyes, I don't think Jesse looks like me. I think he's better looking than me. But we do have some family resemblance. There are some similarities. I don't walk like Jesse either. His legs will grow. By the way, in a few years, I might walk like Jesse. Friend, I want to say this as we move forward. The family of God does not bear physical resemblance. Why? We're all adopted. And we're adopted from everywhere. We are adopted from every possible group on earth. Revelation 5, verse 9. This is found twice. We'll just read it the one time. It says in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. By the way, a price had to be paid. It was the shed blood of Christ. And he has redeemed us. And then it says, out of. Now, friend, this is the four ways Greeks classified people. He says, first of all, out of every kindred, phules. It's tribal kinds of groups.
Now, as a white person from America, we don't recognize tribal groupings much anymore. Some countries, Ade, you still have that in Cameroon. You know which tribal group you're from, or that's that kind of language. Then he goes on to say, not only every tribal group, every tongue. That's language group. So the Bible is very clear that God is going to redeem out of this world a people from every different tribal group, every different language group, and then it uses people group, which maybe you would say like Germanic. When I had my DNA done, a lot of my blood is Germanic or Northwestern European, which means you're from Holland, you're from Germany, you're from the lower Scandinavian countries, you're Germanic, a people group. Ade, I believe one of your big people groups would be Bantu, is that correct? That's a bigger group than it would be a tribal group. Friend, God himself says, I'm going to redeem people from every one of these tribal groups, language groups, people groups. And then it gets into, well, what's the last one? Nation. That's ethne, friend. That's what we would call an ethnic group. They didn't think of nations like we did, like American or English. What does it mean, ethnic group? That's cultural. So we have different cultures. Now, I know all Filipinos are the same, right, Dada? Filipinos in different areas have very, and by the way, now in our church, most of the Filipinos like each other. Except Louie and Robert, when they're together, they don't like each other. But folks, if you know anything about Filipinos that are pagans, they don't like each other. They have names for each other's group. And you say, but they're all Filipinos. That you thinking as American. Now, let's say it this way. What about Mexicans? They're all the same, right? You ask a Mexican where they're from, they don't even tell you Mexico. If you meet me in any place on earth and they say, where are you from? My first response is what? Tell me what it's going to be. America, United States. You meet a Mexican and you say, where are you from? And they'll say, Jalisco. And if you don't know, what? Or they'll say, I'm from, Guerrero. Or I'm from Michoacan. Because they are seeing themselves as smaller groups within Mexico. By the way, that's fine. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. My point is what? The God of heaven, when he looked out, why do we say our Father? Because it's not reserved to me and my little group and people that look like me. No, it's reserved to people who, first of all, who have been born again, who can now say Father and now say our Father because we're adopted from every tribal group, language group, people group, cultural ethnic group, and how all of this mixes. I'm going to say this for free, and it irritates me to say it. Do you know that Germans and French don't like each other? Do you know that? Do you know what the bad news is? They're the same genetic people. Did you know that? French people and Germans have the same genetic background. You say, that's terrible. I've been thinking that ever since I found it out. You say, why? Because there's this age-long conflict. Friend, some of our little divisions are stupid. We do not, intentionally so, manifest the same physical features. We don't manifest the same linguistic features, cultural features, food loves and hates. We come from all over the place, intentionally so, because we call him our Father. You say, what do we have in common? Well, I'm going to say this, and we're going to do it quickly. 1 John 4:19. Would you look there quickly, please? 1 John 4:19. King James is going to have a word that the ESV won't have, and that's fine. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. You say, what makes us alike? Well, friend, if you look at Jesse and you look at me, we have some physical similarities. I get it. I remember when Amy went to Venezuela with Jim and Fawn, and I don't know who else went with you. Tonky was there. They didn't know what a Filipino was in Venezuela, by the way. Don't pick on Americans. Nobody knows anything about any other country. They called him what? Chino? Like he was from China. Nobody knows anything about other countries. But when Amy went there, they looked at Amy and they knew I had been there. And you know what they called Amy? Ralphina. Amy has hated me ever since. We have physical characteristics. Look at me, friend. As a Christian, here's our characteristic. We have all experienced the love of God. We love Him because He first loved us. Because of His love for us in saving us, we love Him. So when you look at a Christian, you don't look at a Christian and say, yeah, I think I can see the resemblance. You look at a Christian and say, is this a person whom God has reached down with His love and saved? And because he's experienced the love of God, now loves God in return. If that is true, we say, our Father. Galatians 5, would you look there, please? We do share things in common, but not the same things that normal people would have in common. We have the same love from God and for God. And my friend, this is true of every believer to a more or less degree. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? These are the characteristics we bear in common. His love, peace, our joy, peace. This is what a Christian's about, loving, experiencing the joy of God, the peace of God, being a long-suffering person. It takes a lot to get us upset. Look at me. Do you have that characteristic? Hey, look at me. If you have none of these characteristics, what does that mean? Answer the question, what does that mean? You're not part of the family. These are characteristics that are essential for being a Christian. You know how to be long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know how to control yourself. Against such there is no law. You see, friend, we're all the same family, not because you look and say, yeah, that whole family has the same hair, or they all eyes are the same, or their hands look the same, or their feet are the same size, or... Sometimes you look at a family and you see them generations. You see similarity. That's all good. But in the family of God, we're adopted. We've experienced the love of God for us, and we love Him. We manifest the fruit of the Spirit, Christ's likeness. This is who we are as we grow in grace. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So my friend, another characteristic that we have in common is we keep Christ's commandments. And we always acknowledge God as our Father. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. I want to close the sermon this morning with the last idea. In this room, I know some people are suffering. We have to come to the third part. Please look at me. You do not have to address God in a ritualistic way. You could pray, Father. It's not wrong to say, my Father, unless that's what you always say. You can certainly address God as our Father because you're one of the family of God. You know, you're adopted into the same family. So I would never go to my mother and say, she's just my mom. No, she has other children. Yes or no? But we have to add the last line on, or we haven't gone very far. I'm going to quote King James English. You do not have to quote King James English to pray. I prefer it only because I like the formal level of the language. But Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art? You say, why? I'm telling you both what and why. You got the point? We pray to the Father because of the new birth. We pray to our Father because we've been adopted, because of adoption. Number three, we pray to our Father which art in heaven. I'm going to say it in a simple way. because he's no earthly father. He's no earthly father. 1 Timothy 1:17, read with me. Now unto the King, my friend, when you come before God, your Father, my Father, our Father, it is our Father which is in heaven. Why? Because he is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 6, same book. Chapter 6, same book. Verse 14. Verse 14, chapter 6. That thou keep this commandment, Timothy, without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he, I think this is God the Father, shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the all-powerful God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto whom, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. My friend, some people get destabilized when something goes wrong. Their whole life unwounds. Hear me. Their whole life comes apart. The first thing, anything happens, here's our problem. Too much buddy talk with you and God. I'm all for the warmth of knowing that he is my Father. I'm even more for the warmth that knows he's our Father. But he's not like any other earthly father. We must recognize who God is. So when we pray, we don't just pray to the old man upstairs or to my buddy. I heard somebody say years ago that Abba means daddy. You know, daddy. I even heard filth like this, that, you know, you can manipulate God by saying how, oh, please. We bow our knees unto the Father. We bow. He is our Father which art in heaven, and he's like no earthly father. My cousin said something. I don't know if Jenny heard it or not. He came to the place, he said, where I didn't want to live after my dad died. And I wanted to ask him, what's the problem? Your dad died from 50 years of smoking 4 packs a day. Whose fault is that? He wanted to blame it on God. You got to be kidding me. People's lives come unwound because something happens. We pray to our Father who is not like any earthly father. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He is eternal, immortal, the only wise God. My goodness, friend. I get loving your father. I hope you can love your father. I hope he's worthy of your love. But many people give up hope when they lose their father or their mother. Everything goes awry. They go into, as John Bunyan called, the slough of despond. And if you don't, a slough is a place like that would be connected to a river where the water would back up and it would be mud, and you could go into mud up to your neck or even beyond your neck and die. And John Bunyan compared that to the depression we can go into, the slough of despondency. People fall apart. But my friend, if you today, if you're saved, you come to the Father because of the new birth. You come to our Father because we are all adopted into this family. And you come to our Father which art in heaven. At age 62 years old, at a family reunion, I saw my father hit a ball 100 foot over a guy's head. When the guy saw an old man walk to the plate and he hit the ball 100 feet over his head, and the guy just did this. By age 63, my dad could barely walk. He developed temporal arteritis, which is an autoimmune disease that can kill you if you can't treat it. In the past, people had strokes. It's inflammation of some cells in your arteries of your brain. The treatment is massive doses of steroids. You're drinking it, which causes all kinds of secondary effects. So at 62, he developed this. And then I saw my strong, big, macho dad. All of a sudden, his eyes go bad. because it causes cataracts to grow to the place where it looked like he had, you know, whatever. He was white in the eyes. He wore out his right hip because you don't absorb calcium properly. He wore out his left knee. So here's my macho dad at 62 and 64. He can't see and he can't walk. Finally, they got him through that. Then they replaced his hip. They replaced his knee. They cut off the cataracts. And because he was from that generation that smoked, he had to have open heart surgery. And then he recovers from that. And then he gets asbestosis, which he already had in his lungs, and cancer. And I saw a macho man go from macho to the last day of his life. My son picked him up and carried him into his bed. Let me say something, folks. I love my family. But my father is not my heavenly father. And he was never meant to be. When you put your head on the pillow tonight and you put your hands in somebody, you better put your hands not in your earthly father or husband or wife or whoever you depend on. You put your total trust in my our Father, which art in heaven. Father, we thank you. And I thank you that I can say Father. And I thank you that I can, it's so special, say our Father. And no, we don't look alike. We don't eat the same food. Some of us have no idea what fishing is. Some of us have no idea what noodling is. Some of us have never seen a duck blind. That's okay. Because we're adopted. We don't share the characteristics of our cultures in common. We share Christ in common. And this morning, from our hearts, we can say, Father, Abba Father, our Father. And we can say, our Father, which art in heaven. Or if we prefer, we can simply shorten it to our Heavenly Father. And we can walk through life with trust and peace and comfort because you're like no earthly father. You are the sovereign God of the universe. Now unto the King, eternal, invisible, the only wise God. That's you. That's our Father which art in heaven. For this we bow our knees. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.